we're still in the initial stages of really building out very strategic virtual CFO practices. I think we've put in place the basic cloud systems, cloud accounting, cloud payroll, cloud bill payment, but there's lots of opportunity for the next wave there.
And welcome back to Future Proof. As always, I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. This week is all about financial statements, which I know, not the sexiest subject in the world, right? But humor me here for a minute, okay? We're talking about some of the most important documents that exist today, at least in corporate America, and they're feeling the sting of disruption just like everybody else is these days. There are academics out there who are questioning whether traditional financial statements are still relevant in a world where business models are evolving and innovating and new types of businesses are emerging almost daily. Can a traditional financial statement serve these types of businesses and their audiences well? And then there's technology, right? Artificial intelligence and blockchain are poised to disrupt not just how financial statements are prepared, but what types of information are reflected in those financials and how they're audited. The entire audit function is ripe for disruption as well. So I would argue this is about as sexy as subjects go these days, at least from an accounting and finance standpoint. And with me this week to help make sense of all this chaos is Eric Askerson. He is the president and CEO of CPA.com, which is the technology arm of the AI CPA. We'll get to Eric in just a moment. First, speaking of financial statements, here's what caught my eye this week. It's a report from the folks at the AICPA and XBRL US who are claiming that the cost of formatting financial statements in XBRL, and that's, by the way, shorthand for extensible business reporting language, those costs have dropped by 45% since 2014. So first, some basics. XBRL is a data tagging language which helps increase the transparency and accessibility of business information by using a uniform format. And I stole that description from the Financial Accounting Standards Board, by the way. So once upon a time, organizations could tag their data any old which way, which made it really hard to compare apples to apples. But XBRL provides that uniformity, so everybody is seeing the same thing. And in 2009, the SEC began requiring the largest public companies in the land to use XBRL to format their financial statements. And they phased in that requirement for smaller companies over the following 2 years. Now, there have been some hiccups in complying with that mandate. Among them, there have been issues with data quality and consistency, although those issues are not as big of a deal as they once were. But a bigger problem, especially with smaller companies, has been the cost. It was a financial hardship for many smaller organizations, but that hardship apparently isn't quite so hard nowadays. Here's how Accounting Today editor-in-chief Michael Cohn describes it. He writes, the study found that 68.6% of the companies paid $5,500 or less per year for fully outsourced creation and filing solutions for their XBRL filings. That's compared to 29.9% of companies who paid $5,500 or less in 2014. Another 11.8% of the companies surveyed paid annual costs between $5,500 to as much as $8,000 for their full service outsourced solutions, rather. And only 13.1% of companies paid more than $10,000 in yearly costs, compared to 31% in the 2014 survey. The median cost of filing, by the way, was $2,500, down 69% from the 2014 median of $8,000 per year. So shorthand, it's getting less expensive to format your financial statements with XBRL. Amy Beers, the Director of Assurance and Advisory Services for Corporate Reporting at the AICPA, said, quote, it is clear the process has become more efficient over the years, allowing vendors to price more competitively. This shows that the benefits of using XBRL exceed the costs because companies can reach more investors and provide analysts with easy access to more detailed financial disclosure information. So There's some good news on the financial statement front. Obviously, some challenges remain, particularly when it comes to making financial reports future ready. And that's where my guest today comes in. Eric Askerson, as I said, is president and CEO of CPA.com. And he says there are still plenty of reasons to be bullish on the relevance of financial statements today and tomorrow. The keys, he said, are to make sure we're reporting the right data and that we're keeping pace with how information is exchanged in a digital world. So Eric and I sat down and talked for a bit about the current and future state of financial reporting, and it was enlightening, to say the least. Here is Eric Askerson. Eric, thanks for joining me today. Let's start with this. For anyone who's listening who doesn't know a whole lot about CPA.com, tell me who you guys are and what you guys do.
Well, sure, Bill. Well, first, it's great to be here. So thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
CPA.com is all about helping firms, you know, really transform their practices. And technology is truly transforming the practice of accounting today. And what we think about every day is the different solutions that are helping firms evolve their audit, tax, virtual CFO, and other areas of the practice. We're also thinking about the broad marketplace, you know, the overall ecosystem and what that ecosystem means to the profession. And we also think about some of the, you know, the new technology drivers, such as AI and blockchain, and what we in the profession need to do to be able to fully leverage them. So those are the three things that we do. And CPA.com is the business and technology arm of the AICPA. We're majority owned by the AICPA.
Got it. And how long have you guys been around now?
We've been, you know, well over a decade now. Now it's we were formed by the AICPA board and management back in 2001.
And even in that short period of time, were you guys prepared for this level of change that we're seeing this quickly? I mean, things have really kind of ramped up in a really significant way in that short period of time that you guys have been around.
Well, you know, it's there's almost been a number of of clear stages over, I think, the last 15 years, last 25 years for the profession. You know, when we were born, it was really during the start of the internet boom. And you quickly moved into cloud accounting and the power of the cloud. And actually, that has prepared us, I think, for what we're going to be seeing in this next revolution of AI, machine learning, robotics, blockchain. So, and I even look back to previous to the .com, the cloud revolution, to the ERP revolution. And that one of the reasons why I think the AICPA board created us is because they saw what technology was doing to the profession, what the ERP systems, be it QuickBooks, be it more advanced systems, be it the tax preparation software. And everything just is accelerating. So it's a great point that you make that things are moving fast. But I think what we've seen over the last decade, the success of building a virtual CFO practice and how technology has helped the firms become more strategic with their clients, is a great model for us to leverage when we're looking at where audit's going and how you couldn't start talking about leveraging AI for the audit until all of the data moved to the cloud, this cloud accounting movement that I just referenced. And so the past decade has set us up really for what's going to happen in the next decade. And I think the opportunities are going to increase. The value equation for the firm is going to increase. So it's just an exciting time. I like to say a lot, there's never been a better time to be in a CPA firm of any size, of a 10-person firm to the largest firms in the country. So we're passionate. We're passionate about what we're doing. And the change is, the rate of change is increasing, but I think the profession is getting better prepared to be able to really take advantage of this change.
Yeah, it is kind of exciting. I mean, it seems like, you know, we're living through an era where the blueprint for how to run a firm of tomorrow is being written as we speak, and we're kind of seeing that those things evolve in real time, and it is kind of exciting from that standpoint.
Well, I think the leadership, the tone of the leadership has changed. I mean, it is dramatically different. I know, Bill, you're out there talking to firms all the time. I look at, you know, one of our key events, the Digital CPA event. I look at the discussion we had last year. We're out in the Bay Area, you know, really the center of technology disruption in the world. And the number of managing partners that came, the leadership of the firms that came, you know, technology is just core to the firm strategies now. And the dialogue is different. It's different than it was a decade ago. And that's one of the reasons why I think we're in a good position to absorb some of these they're much more complex, you know, AI, machine learning, blockchain, a lot more complex than just moving your data center to the cloud.
And we could throw a dart at a board and find a topic that's relevant to the future of our profession, really. So let's just pick one for the purpose of our discussion here today. And what I was hoping we could talk about is financial statements. So I'm interested to know your opinion about something. You recently wrote an article that cited some statistics that show that analysts, advisors, portfolio managers, they all kind of overwhelmingly believe that today's financial statements are still relevant, that they still provide valuable information, and that management and company board members feel the same way, if not more strongly. And then you've got Baruch Lev and Feng Gu, who a couple of accounting professors who wrote a book recently called The End of Accounting, which is kind of an interesting book, in which they argue that financial statements are no longer really useful because they don't provide the type of forward-looking information that will give us that clear idea of where today's organizations are headed. They kind of argue that traditional accounting information like earnings and assets no longer work in a world of, you know, internet and telecom and new media companies. I'm just kind of interested. Do you agree? In your eyes, what's the role of the financial statement in today's world?
Well, there's a lot of questions in that question there. To start off with, I mean, the audited financial statement, the assurance service, is just critical to the capital markets, and that's what you're hearing, you know, from the boards, from investors. They want to have clarity in what they're investing in, mm-hmm. and in today's financial statement audit, you know, there's a review of internal controls. You know, there's a maturity in the processing of financial information. And if you look at capital markets around the world, in some of the capital markets where they don't have that level of assurance, they don't have that level of trust, it's a real challenge. I spent an earlier part of my career in Africa, and, you know, that market could utilize, you know, better assurance. So, you know, the foundation of capital markets, the arteries of finance, are around clarity of information. And so that's why the service is critically important to the private and the public company markets. Now you're talking about the second part of the question. You know, it's the future of accounting. I wouldn't call it the end of accounting. Where is the intelligence in this information going? It needs to be absolutely more forward-looking. You want to have clarity of information, of today's information, and then there's going to be, you know, greater opportunities to provide real-time information and forward-looking information. So I think there's the fundamental service of trust and assurance is extremely important to capital markets. And then the second element of better insights and better information is also something that is in high demand. And the accountants and the CPA profession are in a great, great position to deliver. I could talk more about, you know, why that first category is so important. Mm-hmm. We could go into some, fraud examples. We could go into what happens when you have fraudulent information, and what that does in the U.S. market, and what it does or does around the world. And then the two professors, absolutely, I'm complete agreement with what their thinking is on, what else needs to be done to provide more information.
Right. So it's not so much the financial statements, in other words, but the types of information that those statements are providing to analysts and investors that may need to evolve or be updated as time goes on.
Right, Bill. I mean, there's lots of projects on enhanced business reporting, and absolutely. So I think it's one of those things that you need to build off of what you have. And I think then we could talk about where auditing in the future is going. And I think when you look at that and you look at how people are thinking about that, they're thinking about changing the methodology along with changing the technology platforms to provide through new methodology and new capabilities more insights. I actually think in the next 6 years, 6 to 10 years, maybe shorter, 4 to 10 years, mm-hmm. you are going to have the strategic audit advisor. You're going to want the financial statement audit, but you're going to get the financial statement audit plus. So you're going to say, here's your audited financial statement, and on top of that, I'm going to give you these 7 different insights about your business. And in that article that I wrote, I noted that businesses that leverage the insights today from the auditors are more successful. I think what's going to happen, based on all of the insights you'll be able to get by looking at a full data set, leveraging some AI to run on top of that data set, you're going to come back to your client and say, let me just give you all of these fact patterns, because I'm a firm that supports this category. We know this category. We've run your numbers. You've got ratios that are out of sync here, or even like simple things. We've looked at your whole data set and we noticed you did double payments here, and you know what? I actually think we're not too far off from when you might be able to show the client that their audit fee is paid for by the insights that you provide them beyond the financial statement audit. So that's, I think it's going to be financial statement audit plus services for the auditor, and the auditors are going to become much better because of AI. It's not going to make them irrelevant. It's just like, the cloud didn't eliminate outsourced accounting services. It made it better. AI will make the auditor better.
So, yeah, and that's a pretty powerful value add there from an auditor's perspective. Is it our ability to do that, and you mentioned AI, is that kind of based on this notion of exponential advances in technology, the fact that things like AI, and there's been a lot of talk about blockchain now and the potential that has to kind of disrupt the audit function. These new technologies being able to do a lot of the so-called grunt work involved with an audit, which will free up our time to provide that deeper kind of insight. Is that where you see really the kind of the benefits of these advances in technology being able to augment what the auditor does, not replace it?
Well, perfect. Well said. It's gonna augment, Bill. It's going to AI. What's AI really good at? Automating routine tasks. We think about one of the biggest things everyone's talking about: driverless cars. That's a routine task. And in with the audit, there are some routine tasks that AI is going to be able to do. So the routine, the role of the auditor is going to change, and the auditor is going to be able to focus on higher value add areas of the audit. Focus more on the risk assessment. Also focus more on the controls, the configuration of how the client is processing their financial information. So this is, you know, we just rolled out a prep, comp, and review solution that is using some, you know, very basic routine-based AI where it's helping, craft the appropriate engagement letter from 19 different engagement letters and 72 different paragraphs based on some questions. So those are the kinds of things that it will do in a more efficient way, you know, for the auditor, and it will change the routine. But then there's so much more knowledge that just you were referring to in your earlier question that the auditor can now focus on, which will drive more value for their client.
Mm-hmm. But in short, I mean, you know, I've heard, you know, doomsayers saying that, you know, blockchain in particular has the potential to eliminate the need for the audit. And I'm not hearing that from you. You're more bullish on the future of this, the stuff that we do as a profession than some of the folks out there who are saying that the sky is going to fall.
Well, you know, I think every one of these, that's why they're all mouthfuls, and blockchain is just it's an incredible technology, lots of opportunity. You know, it could be the next internet, you know, truly controlling value, you know, putting more value in the information that you receive. But let's just peel back the onion a little bit and look at, okay, what is blockchain going to mean around financial transaction processing and the audit process? Absolutely. If there are some transactions that are in a public blockchain, will it be much more efficient to confirm, or even the confirmations maybe not needed potentially? But I'll tell you this: there's still so much that will need a review by an auditor. You'll need to review the configuration of the systems. There's actually going to be lots of audit assurance opportunities related to blockchain and smart contracts. You need to review a smart contract. There can be a line of code that is incorrect. So there's an opportunity there for a technology company to come in and help doing a smart contract audit. There's going to, you know, there's discussions at the AICPA of some type of SOC-like standard to audit a smart contract. You then have, so we're talking public, so let's move, I was just talking public blockchains. Let's talk about permission-based or private blockchains, a blockchain environment that's controlled by 7 parties. Again, you're going to have some third-party assurance that this 7-party blockchain permission-based system is working as it should. So I'm sorry if I kind of went maybe a little bit dove in. I wouldn't call that the weeds. I'd still call that high level. But there's a lot of opportunity, and I know firms today that are thinking about how to support crypto asset assurance, a smart contract assurance. Believe me, their billable rates are very high, and it's a great opportunity. And just like everything else, it's going to, like, ERP systems made things simpler. Digital inventory records made things simpler. So if there is a public blockchain of some transactions, yes, but there's going to be 5 other elements that are going to offer opportunities. Mm-hmm. It's not being made as much as overstatement that the blockchain's the end of the audit profession. I think people that are knowledgeable and aware of it are not making that statement anymore. I mean, are you hearing less of that now, Bill?
I think I am. I heard, early on, there was all kinds of talk about all the jobs that are going to get eaten up by these robots that were emerging. And now the talk is how we can add value side by side with the machines rather than being automated away completely by them. So, and I think one of the things that a lot of people don't stop to consider when they talk about automation and the future and where all this technology is going is that these new technologies are going to, or have the potential anyway, to create as many jobs as they destroy. And I think we may be seeing some of that with our profession as well. I mean, you know, there may be brand new roles that emerge for folks who conduct audits that don't exist today, that will just be kind of a natural course of how we do business going forward. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this all shakes out. But I think you're right. I'm seeing less talk about jobs being destroyed and more talk about how can we continue to add value and remain relevant and work with the robots as opposed to being automated away by them, you know? So
that's right. And the only thing I would say on that is I think it's very important that you as you said a minute ago, that you kind of work with the technology, that it's your partner. You don't try to compete against it. I mean, technology is going to automate the routine services. So some, you know, if your job is all about just, you know, confirming transactions or doing bookkeeping, that's at risk. So it's about you have to think more about specialization. And I think for a knowledge profession, you are in a good spot to work alongside with the computers, and you just need to be advancing two things. One is your specialty, your expertise in a particular category, and then secondly, how you're working with the technology. So if you're about competing at the low end, that's a race to zero, as we're seeing on maybe the low end tax returns, and that's not where you want to be.
Right. So what does the financial statement of tomorrow look like to you? I mean, I don't know. Let's just leave it at that. What does the statement of tomorrow look like to you? I mean, what kind of information are we going to be relying on with regard to what these financial statements are telling us?
Well, I think you're just going to continue to have more opportunities for real time assurance. You know, the idea of a continuous audit.
So less reliance on like quarterlies and annuals, and more kind of like what's happening today rather than.
Yeah, I think that, and that's still a little ways off, because I think the first move is going to be truly looking at, you know, full data sets, comparing those full data sets to other pieces of information, data analytics, using AI, using machine learning, to look at lots of information, even information outside of the financial systems. So I think that's the first. I mean, as I said, the first step is you had cloud accounting, so now all the data is in the cloud. Now you're going to have cloud auditing, and cloud auditing is going to be the tools of it are going to be AI, robotic processing, machine learning, and big data analytics. So then you're going to have all of those in place, and you'll be looking at the full data set. And then once that's achieved, then you can start moving into continuous information, more continuous assurance, and also clearly with all those analytics, providing a lot more intelligence around how the business is performing to the executives and to the investors.
And how about on the private side, Eric? Do the same kind of issues exist for private company financials as on the public side? I mean, how do those two things differ at this point?
Well, I mean, I think a lot more about the private company side, than the public company side, just because, when you look at our firms here, 44,000 firms, the majority of them are supporting the private company market. And everything I've been saying today has had a lot of relevance to the private company market, and the big four are doing a lot of innovation with how they're, and all of this that we're talking about. I mean, the big, super complex company with locations around the world and so much information. I mean, this is gonna be a huge value driver. What we're talking about with AI and cloud auditing for the largest public company audits. But when you look at the private company, it's gonna be able to do similar insights, and I think that the assurance needs are very important in the private company market, and that's what the private equity firms have changed the landscape over the last decade. They're putting a lot of money in private companies, a lot of investing in private companies, and it's very, very important to them to have that assurance from firms, and also, you know, they want the greater insights.
And you guys at CPA.com are working on some really interesting stuff, particularly with regard to private company financials. Tell me a little bit about the Rivio Clearinghouse. I'm hearing a lot about that lately. What's that designed to do?
Well, the Rivio Clearinghouse, what we're trying to do there is to support the delivery of private company financial information. Because today, unfortunately, the audited financial statement for private companies is delivered in two primary ways. It's either delivered via email in a PDF, or it's delivered in a printed form. And that's not the digital information highway. There's lots of risks of fraud. And we're very focused on making sure, I mean, this is the core service of these firms. And we want the firm's core service to be part of the digital information highway. So we've launched a clearinghouse, really a private company clearinghouse. It's you know, the United States doesn't have, there's other markets that have private company clearinghouse. We've launched a private company clearinghouse so firms can provide authenticated documents to their clients, and then their clients can deliver these documents to the users, to the banks, and to their investors. And we're doing two primary things. We're validating that it's an appropriately, you know, licensed CPA firm, which is important. And then two, we're ensuring that the document is not altered so that the end user is looking at an unaltered document. And I could give you lots of examples of firms or non-firms that are trying to do audited services that we flag in the system, and examples of management doctoring up a PDF and sending it on to their users. And what's happening is that this is frustrating the users, the banks, and some of the investors, and they're looking for other ways to get this information. And that's, and what we want to do is we absolutely want to make sure that they, that there's a service to deliver this. So this is an exciting initiative, and it's beginning to, you know, build traction.
I was going to say, what kind of traction are you seeing? Has it reached a tipping point yet, or are you still kind of building interest and adoption?
Well, you know how new technology, and we've seen this, how new technologies are adopted. They're adopted by niche categories. It's, you know, Jeffrey Moore's old, you know, bowling pin, you know, analogy of how, you know, when you, to cross the chasm to get, you know, new services adopted, there's categories that see the greatest value. And one category that's seen a lot of value actually is the credit unions. And the National Credit Union Administration was receiving some, they felt, improper audit financial statements from their credit unions. So they have moved to really encourage, and they're even advancing that encouragement, and they'll be advancing that encouragement in the coming months to request that, you know, these documents are delivered via this Rivio Clearinghouse. So that's one market. I can tell you another market, you know, some of the high-end private equity markets, there's been, believe it or not, examples of people using fictitious KPMG reports and raising money from private equity entities, and that does not end well. So that's where we're looking. The SOC reports, there's some people that are looking at it as an efficient tool to deliver SOC reports. So those are three of the niches. And that's how, you know, technologies are usually adopted. It's not, you don't have a firm that makes a statement that they're going to distribute all of their services through a new tool. They usually do it, you know, category by category, and that's where we currently stand right now.
So, just to kind of wrap up here and setting financial statements aside for a second, what else is on your guys' radar? I mean, CPA.com is forward thinking of an organization as there is in the profession. What else are you guys watching now that is particularly interesting?
Well, I would say that I'll make three comments here. I mean, three big areas of practice. I think we're still in the initial stages of really building out very strategic virtual CFO practices. I think we've put in place the basic cloud systems, cloud accounting, cloud payroll, cloud bill payment, but there's lots of opportunity for the next wave there. So that's one. Two, auditing in the future. I think this is going to There's going to be a dramatic transformation. We're putting a lot of energy. We have a huge initiative around that to building out a technology solution, advancing a future methodology in partnership with AICPA for the profession. So that's probably the biggest right there is what's happening in auditing in the future. But then the third one is something that's top of mind of everybody this year, and that's the tax area. And we had a huge tax change, biggest tax change in 30 years. And what is going to happen in the tax area? You already have fantastic tax preparation software, but it's going to be on the individual side much greater integrated tax planning, bringing in the total tax digital, the total digital world of the client, and lots of opportunity there. And those are the three areas that we're thinking a lot about. We put a lot of effort into cloud into the virtual CFO, but we're really beginning to think about the auditing in the future, and then also in the tax area, what does it mean to be an integrated planner, a life planner for your clients? And I think you're going to start seeing some firms think about moving to a monthly subscription service to do this life planning. Mm. And including the tax service in that, and that'll be a big shift for the market. So just, it's a great time. I mean, it's a fantastic time. Never been a better time to be in a firm, and firms are growing and they're excited. It's challenging. There's a lot to learn. So it's great that you are putting out all of this information.
Well, I agree with you. It is an exciting time. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of chaos, but certainly a lot of opportunity. And let's keep talking about this stuff. I mean, I would love to get together another year down the road and see what's happened since the last time we talked. But in the meantime, Eric, thanks for being here. I appreciate your insights and as always, your time. It was great talking to you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
That was Eric Askerson, president and CEO of CPA.com. To learn more, visit, well, where else? CPA.com.